So we've been talking about different people and their perspective on tshuva. And in particular, we're focusing on, we've focused thus far on Rav Steinzaltz and Rav Noach Weinberg, two very fascinating thinkers who did a lot for our generation, for the generation above, as far as bringing people back. And the world of tshuva is a world very much associated with them. I wanted to take the opportunity, if it's okay, to speak a little bit about the Sfarno, to speak less about sort of contemporary thinkers, and instead to speak a little bit more about one of the great Rishonim and how that Rishon understands the world of tshuva. All I did, which is fairly simple, is go around in different places in Chumash where ideas related to tshuva may be found, to try to trace what the Sfarno says in those places, to try to understand in light of that, is there a theme or two that seems to be more common for the Sfarno and his understanding of what tshuva is all about, and how exactly can that sort of guide us a little bit. Some of what we say is going to be directly relevant to Yom Kippur in a very powerful, I think, way. Some of it is more general tshuva, be it some stuff in Parshas Shmos and Parshas Vayera, but definitely as we prepare for Shabbat tshuva, a lot to speak about as far as the world of the Sfarno and what exactly he says. Let me begin by mentioning one or two points. The Sfarno is one of the great Rishonim in commentaries on Chumash. You'll see it in all of your standard Mikros Gedolos editions of Chumash. The Sfarno usually writes in a relatively brief way. He's often focused a bit more on the world of Pshat, similar to like Rashi in the Gemara. He tends to write not so much as like, here is my question and here is my answer, but he writes shorter comments sometimes, and in those shorter comments, he sort of is responding to what could be bothering you within the text. He is often bound by Chazal, but not always. In his understanding of Pshat, he himself was a relatively broad person. I believe he was a doctor and had a degree of secular knowledge, like a group of Rishonim. And the Sfarno becomes a very, very important sefer in many ways, because it's on the page, the Mikras Gedolos, and people that learn Chumash look at the Sfarno often. We've quoted a couple this year. The Sfarno at times becomes relevant for ideas in Lamdas, but more often than not, the Sfarno is very much relevant for ideas in the world of just understanding Pshat in Chumash, and sometimes really for ideas of almost like Musar and Machshava, insights that can emerge from the Sfarno. I believe, although I can't say, I didn't get a chance to look it up, that Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael, at one point encouraged certain people to learn the Sfarno because of its sort of like Musar Hashkafa component. We're talking about the Sfarno a little bit, and we're going to try to understand what he says and what makes his particular approach uniquely meaningful. So let's begin with the following. We know the Psukim and Parshas Nitzav and Vayelech there, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, so we have a discussion of a somewhat vague pasuk. The Torah tells us they're supposed to return to Hashem and engage in Ariel was just that he encouraged certain people to learn Sfarno, thinking that it had a certain type, kind of like Musar, Machshava, Hashkafa insights at times. The Torah tells us in part of Tzav Vayelech, a very vague pasuk, and yet it's one that's very important. Torah previously had told us it's important to return to Hashem. And the Torah tells us, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, this mitzvah is lo neflesi, lo rechoka, lo bashamayimi, ki karvi lecha adavar. There's some mitzvah which is not that far away. It's actually very accessible. It's a mitzvah which is not beyond us at all. And the Rishonim debate what mitzvah we are referring to. Ki HaMitzvah Hazos. The simple pshat of the Gemara in Erevin, this whole discussion of lo bashamayimi, is the Torah is referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Torah is saying that when it comes to learning, learning is accessible, learning is doable, learning is not beyond us, learning is not too challenging. Lo bashamayimi, ki karvei lecha davar me'od, b'ficha v'vavcha, that it's something which is really accessible to us. There is a group of Rishonim, the Ramban potentially most famously, and the Sfarno is in this camp. And the Sfarno understands that this is a reference to the mitzvah of tshuva. That tshuva is something which is very much accessible, tshuva is something which people can do. And in that sense, the first thing to know about the Sfarno, we're setting the stage, is that tshuva is not just a concept. Tshuva is not just something which we have the right to do, but tshuva is something which we are required to do. Tshuva is a mitzvah. And if tshuva is a mitzvah, so it comes with a certain sense of requirement. because the Sfarno interprets the Psukim this way, the Sfarno, interestingly enough, goes out of his way. The Sfarno goes out of his way to clarify for us, I'll share the screen for a bit, that it's so accessible. It's so accessible that it doesn't require you to find, like, Bitam Midi Chachamim, to teach you about it, V'lo Rechokahi, Shet Starich Lechachme Hador, HaRechokim Sheyifarshu Lecha. We don't need to find the biggest Chachamim in the world to teach us how to be able to do tshuva. We can know how to do it. Lo Neflesihi Mimcha. You don't require prophets to be able to tell you how to do so. But says Netziv, rather a person can do it. A person can do tshuva. If you look here, B'chol HaGoyim B'odcha Bagalas, that even when a person is very distant, even when a person's in exile, so it's far to understand that tshuva is a mitzvah, which on the one hand is very much, is a requirement, but it's indescribably accessible. There are mitzvahs that require chachamim to be able to fulfill. There are mitzvahs where nevi'im are helpful as far as clarifying for us what to do. As an example, many of us last night, pretty late I am told, may have gone to pick up Dal Ninim. So one of the great things about buying Dal Minim from a Rabinovich is that you have a Chacham there who can help guide you appropriately. But the halachas of Dal Minim are sometimes a little bit hard. And if we had no Chachamim, so I wouldn't really know how to do it, to have guidance, what's called a kosher Esra, what's called a kosher Lula, what's considered to be appropriate, it's hard, we need Chachamim. And in a certain sense, the mitzvah of Tshuva says, it's far, and it was not like that at all. It's Beficha V'Vavcha La'Sosa, it's Karvi Lecha Davar Ma'od Ma'od. One need not search for others who are beyond to give us guidance. We don't need prophets and we don't need chachamim. We ourselves can know what tshuva really entails. Now that being the case, you could have said that and then said, let's end our discussion about tshuva right now. We all know how to say sorry. We're all taught to say sorry at a relatively young age. So there's no real need or requirement to get any more fancy than that. But it's not really true, and the Sfarim understands that there's a lot to be said about what tshuva itself, in many ways, is really all about. And I want to frame what the Sfarno says about tshuva in the following manner. If you finish the 8th parak of Meseches Yuma, so one of the things which is intriguing is that, and this is true in general, Chazal understand that beyond the mitzvah that we do, in the most narrow sense, a fulfillment of a technical obligation, that the intent that we have when doing such mitzvahs often matters a lot. With mitzvos in general, we speak about mitzvos trichos kavana or ein trichos kavana. Mitzvos require intent or don't require intent. And a debate amongst Rishonim, a debate in Shulchan Aruch, and Archaim, and Simit Samech, do mitzvos require kavana or not? When it comes to Talmud Torah, we use sometimes a bit of a different word. We speak there, the Gemara in Psachim and the Gemara in Brachos, not only about mitzvos, but we say also about Talmud Torah, a question of lishma. Whatever it is that Lishma means, not for now. We think that Lishma, when it comes to writing a get or karbanos Lishma, your kavana becomes very important. Many of us know that when it comes to the world of tshuva, so Chazal also distinguish between different kinds of motivation for what leads a person to want to do tshuva. That's point number one. Point number two, along those lines, Chazal very clearly understand that not all tshuvas are created equal. So as an example, the Gemara Meseches Yuma, tshuva which is done out of yira, tshuva which is done because you are fearful of the repercussions of your sins, so zedonos nasos kishkagos, the mess-ups that you did become considered to be like a shogeg, it's considered to be as if it was an inadvertent act, and it's a shogeg, that's what it is on some level. But the Gemara says in Yuma, again, many of us familiar with it, that if you do tshuva me'ahava, if your tshuva is done for the right reasons, so then tshuva can be done. Kizchuyos, that even your aveiras can be considered like merits, that it can transform things in a different way. Now why that's so is not for now, but again, the background, tshuva, there are different kinds of motivation, and within the different kinds of motivation, there are different levels of the tshuva process, which are very important to understand and very important to be aware of. Along those lines also, you know, it's like one way of saying it, I think some Bali Machshava do. If in general there's a machlokas, whether there's chatzi shir in mitzvos, if I don't have a kazayas of matzah, so is it worthwhile to eat a bit of matzah, even though I don't have a full kazayas? So we saw the Shari Tshuva commenting on Shulchan Aruch quotes a debate in Achronim about that. Most assume, I believe, that when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, we would say there is undoubtedly chatzi shir b'mitzvah tshuva. That if a person won't be able to achieve the full desired result of tshuva described by the Rambam, of a full charata, a full kabbalah ha'asid, I am positive that I will never mess up again with these kinds of averas, we would still say for sure chatzi shir b'mitzvot. Do what you can, that makes sense, it's reasonable, and you need not go further than that. I think what's interesting is that if you look at the Sfarno in his Peirush on Chumash, the Sfarno, in a couple of contexts, two or three at least, emphasizes the importance of the right motivation when you're engaging in tshuva. Tshuva not because of side reasons, but tshuva for very clear reasons. So tshuva writes as follows. Look in there in Dvarim, in Perek Lamed, Parsh Nitzavim. V'shaftar Hashem Elokecha, you should return to Hashem. Tehei tshuvascha kedei la'asos ritzon koncha bilvad. V'zohi ha'tshuva she'amru zal she'magas ha'kisi ha'kavod. Chazal tells that tshuva, if you do a good job, can reach the kisi ha'kavod of the Ribono Shel Olam. Says it's far from not all tshuvas. You want to make sure that your tshuva is done kedei la'asos ritzon koncha bilvad. Because you are focused on Ribono Shel Olam and wanting to fulfill the desire, wanting to fulfill what Hashem wants from us. Like, similarly, the way I would say, similarly is like what Rashi writes. What Rashi writes in Maseches Tainis, that the reason why you learn Torah Lishma is Kasher Tivani Hashem Elokai. So that you do it because there's a Chiyav. And for the Sfarno, part of why we're doing Tshuva is being conscious and aware of the fact that it's a mitzvah and I want to do Ratzon Hashem. And don't do it, says this far. Don't do it because it's a habit. Don't do it just because you are used to. But because you are used to fulfilling mitzvos or whatever it is, that's not what it's about. It's about a conscious choice. Not I'm sitting in shul and everyone's doing an al-chait, so I'll do an al-chait also. But you're conscious about why you're doing what you're doing. This idea of the importance of the proper motivation is the basis of a very famous comment of the Sfarno, answering a question that is very well known that the Rambam and the Ramban relate to in the times of the Rishonim. I referenced briefly Chief Rabbi Sachs has a beautiful insight about the part I quote in the sheet is not the sort of the beautiful insight. You can keep on reading it a little bit if you look it up online. But there's a very famous question, which is the more that you believe tshuva is accessible, and the more that it's kibeficha v'avcha, and it's lo b'shamayimi, and lo neflesi mimcha, but you have to struggle on some level with the fact that Chumash, in Parshiyos Shmos and Vayera, in a very famous way, the Ribono Shel Olam seems to tell us that he hardens the heart of Paro, that on some level it looks like the Ribono Shel Olam is, despite doing the makos, and presumably Paro wanting to let B'nai Yisrael out, Hashem hardening the heart of Paro, presumably to prevent Paro from doing tshuva. If tshuva is really so accessible and it's really so easy, and tshuva, you know, is a thing, why wouldn't you want Paro to be able to do it? Some of us may begin to suggest an idea about tshuva of non-Jews being a little bit different. There's a midrash like that. The B'nai Yisrael has a long discussion about that. Many of us would counter, but what about Yonah and Nineveh and other stories of non-Jews that did tshuva? Those are all really important discussions. But to be shown him deal with the question, why did Hashem harden Paro's heart? What's he doing? Why not make it that Paro would be able to do tshuva? What exactly is going on here? To be shown him have a variety of suggestions. The Rambam, I believe, in Hilchos Tshuva has a very famous answer. It's a very scary answer also. But the Rambam writes that sometimes, that there can be a situation where tshuva is removed from a person. That a person can sin akadei kach, that they are so far away, that they really can't do tshuva. Me'aim the Gemara in Chagiga, one of the pshatim, that the Gemara says about Elisha ben Avuya, the great Tana, that goes off the derech, the great Tana, that is no longer observant. And he hears a baskel that says, shuvu banim shovavim, chutz me'acher, that all people can come back except for Elisha ben Avuya, that maybe there are people that sin and mess up so badly, that tshuva is accessible, but only if you're still in the parsha. And tshuva is something that you could do, but only if you haven't crossed too many lines. And there are certain relationships that maybe can be irrevocably damaged. and Paro just went too far, so suggests the Rambam. But the Sfarno doesn't say that. And many interpret that Gemara and Chagiga in a very different way. And in fact, Tshuva is always accessible. But if Tshuva is always accessible, so what's going on with Paro? So Sfarno has an amazingly intriguing insight with Yosef Albo and Sefer Ikarim, I believe with a similar insight, says the Sfarno like this. Tshuva which is done because you are forced into it. Tshuva which is done because you feel like you have no other option and no other choice is not really called tshuva. The tshuva which emerges from a lack of bechira chafshes. The tshuva which emerges from a lack of free choice and free will. Paro went through the Makos. And he decided early on, you know what, I messed up. I'll free them, that's one thing. But Paro didn't respond by freeing Bnei Yisrael. Paro held his ground a little bit. And in a certain sense, Ribbono Shel Olam says, if I keep on doing the Makos, and I don't harden Paro's heart, it is true that he will allow Bnei Yisrael to leave, but that won't be called tshuva, because he'll do so because he feels like he is forced, locked into, with no other option other than allowing them to be able to go free. But says the Sfarno, that's not what we're looking for. That's not called real tshuva. Real tshuva, says the Sfarno, is something much more powerful. Real tshuva, says the Sfarno, has to be lo mipnei sheyichna lekel yisbarach la'asos betzono. It's not just because you confessed a little bit. It's not just because you felt like you were locked in a certain sense. It's because that of your own free choice, you say, I want to be different. I want to be better. I want to maintain and follow the standards that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do. So Hashem felt the need to prevent Paro's capacity. I'm not going to make this easy for you, Paro. I'm not going to create a reality where you feel like you are forced to do tshuva. You want to do tshuva? Do tshuva out of your own free will. The hardening of Paro's heart was not preventing tshuva. It was ensuring that he was not going to be overwhelmed by the presence of the Makos to do something that, in fact, he really didn't want to do. So says the Sfarno. In that sense, for the Sfarno, what we see is that tshuva is something which is accessible, but not only is tshuva something which is accessible, tshuva is something which a person can do in all circumstances, and even for that figure like Paro, even for the person that killed Jewish babies, that subjugated or put into servitude a nation, even Paro could do tshuva. The fact that it's accessible, though, does not mean that it's easy. And the fact that it's lo neflesi imimchav lo rechokehi, and we don't need prophets or talmidei chachamim, the fact that we don't need that does not mean that it's simple to do. It's hard work. It's demanding. And you got to have a gut check sometimes. Am I really doing it for the right reason? You should do it anyway, no matter what. But can I make sure I'm doing it for the right reason? In a certain sense, that is what the Sfarno emphasizes, and that is what the Sfarno tries to point out here. That being the case, we now shift to Yom Kippur for a moment. And Yom Kippur presents an amazing thing. Yom Kippur, on the one hand, we've been learning this a little bit. I hope either on Motzei Shabbos before Slichos or Sunday morning we can spend about 20 minutes or half hour together sharing some brief thoughts about Yom Kippur if we can find the time. But I think you find something a little bit interesting when it comes to Yom Kippur, and this we're aware of. We began our Shiurim on Yom Kippur talking about how Yom Kippur has two different elements to the day. It's a day, the first seven prakim of Maseches Yuma, Parshas Achrei Mos, which is so much centered around, again, this Yom Kippur experience, so much is centered around the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol's Avoda. And you can get the impression that the Kohen Gadol's Avoda, that does the kapara. That's what achieves the sin. Emes Manedar, when you see the Kohen Gadol, Yotze V'Nichnas, Lifnai V'Lifnim, and he emerges, and the Sir La'Azazel falls apart, and you see, you can witness, in a certain sense, that feeling of kapara, of forgiveness for sins. But we also know that aside from Yom Kippur being the Kohen Gadol's day, it's also our day a little bit. Yom Kippur is also the day where we engage in the Chamesh HaSinuyim, where we engage in fasting. We know it's a day when it's a charge for us, tshuva, to make sure that we are repenting. And the question which is asked in a certain sense already by Chazal, Gemaras and Shavuos, and a bit Gemaras and Yuma, how does this all fit together? Yom Kippur is mechaper if I don't do tshuva. It's only mechaper if I do tshuva. And we know the question about Benodim L'chavero, I have to even ask forgiveness from others, or Benodim L'mako, maybe it's all about me. But what role does the Kohen Gadol's Avoda play? What is his kapara that he's providing me? And how does that fit with the need for me to fast? And the Sfarno asks the question in many ways very simply. If the Kohen Gadol is doing everything, ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem, l'tayer eschem, so why do I have to do anything at all? And why do I have to be fasting? And why do I have to sit there struggling in a certain sense, having a more challenging day? And I can't just, it's a laid back kind of a day. It's all on him. Let him do, you know, what he needs to do. I often joke, before that, you know, Rav Ganz often davens Ne'ilah. I doubt he'll be doing so this year. I don't know. Rav Ganz often davens Ne'ilah. And sometimes where our shir normally sits, it can be a little bit hard to hear Rav Ganz Ne'ilah time. So the imagery that I have in my own mind to sort of like comfort me from not being able to hear is, you know, it's like the Kohen Gadol who's nichnas lefnai v'lefnim. And you don't really know what's going on the whole time when the Kohen Gadol's there. But you can rest assured, you can have a degree of confidence that whatever it is that he's doing, it's probably in your best interest. And even if I can't hear him, let him have that somewhat private conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam, you know, doing what he can. And that's like the imagery that hits me. I can't hear always what's going on in the Ela time, and it's like, it's okay, it's okay. You don't have to always have a front row seat to what's going on in our best, you know, there's a lot going on right now, and assume that it's good, and there's no one I'd rather have up to bat, you know. It's the bottom of the ninth inning. Who else do you want up to bat? You know, it's definitely true in a certain sense. Says it's far, no, if that's really true, and it's all on the Kohanim, so why am I doing anything at all? Why is there Shvisa and why is there Inoy? Why is it important? Some of us may remember the Sfarno, part of a beautiful mahalach developed by Rosenzweig with the nature of Yom Kippur, to separate us, to break us from our normal routine. That the Inuyim are there, so it's not a regular day. It's a different kind of day. But why is it all worth it, wonders the Sfarno? Why is that a good usage of our time to sit there in Shuva? And the Sfarno has, I believe if I'm reading him correctly, you can check it out inside, an amazingly intriguing insight. And the way he reads the Pasuk, and when you say it on Yom Kippur, think about this, because it's a very, very powerful Torah. I believe, at least for me, I wasn't aware of it. I think it's a lot. Says the Sfarno, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper, v'hatam shenitztarchu imzeh, gam l'shvisa v'inoyhu. Why am I engaging in fasting if I have this amazing avodah done by the Kohen Gadol? Says the Sfarno, Ki amnam ha-kohen ba'avodasa yichaper bilvad. It is true. And the Kohen Gadol on his own, through his kapara, can provide for you a degree of forgiveness. But, the inyan ha-kippur hu, haktanas ha-chet, bachnasu l'kabel slicha. All the Kohen Gadol can do is lessen the severity of all that we did. All the Kohen Gadol can do is make sure that our mess-ups, that our mistakes get minimized, that they aren't viewed as being as severe. They are not viewed as being as major, that we can be rest assured it's not the biggest deal in the world, that we can have a degree of forgiveness. It, in many ways, if I were Sam, I would say, it takes the edge off a bit of some of our sins. That's what it really does. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'tayer eschem mikol chatoseichem. But says this photo, you got to read the rest of the pasuk. Lifnei Hashem titaru. Lifnei Hashem titaru is a new and distinct phrase in that pasuk. It's awesome, says the Sfarno. Lifnei Hashem titaru means that while shuki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'tayer eschem mikol chatoseichem, while it's true the Kohen Gadol will minimize the impact of your sin at all, that is what the Kohen Gadol's job is. But you be charged. Lifnei Hashem titaru. You go right now yourself and purify yourself in front of Hashem. Says the Sfarno, Ava hasagas hatahara. V'haslicha ha-gemura, a full feeling of authentic tahara, a real feeling of tshuva, of slicha gemura, of wiping the slate entirely clean, of not just having a forgiveness, but a purity. That is lifnei Hashem bilvad. V'zeh bevidoi uvetshuva, shehu levado yodeya, only the Ribono Shel Olam knows, and that is why Shabbat Shabbat Shon Hilachem, that is why, says the Sfarno, we have a Yom Kippur, not just the Kohen Gadol doing what he has to do, but Lifnei Hashem Titaru is incumbent upon each and every one of us. And it's Shabbat Shabbat on Tiyah, B'chomot Vaseichem, Chukas Olam, says the Sfarno, there are going to be times, the Torah is telling us, when there won't be a Beis HaMikdash. There are going to be times where we don't have the Kohen Gadol to minimize the impact of our sins. He's not there to take the edge off. So Bizman Beis HaMikdash, it's awesome. You know that your tshuva, your vir, is important, but it's really about just getting you the full Tara on a Slicha Gemura, but you've already had a minimizing of sin. But says the Sfarno, that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, there's always a Yom Kippur because you always matter. It's never only the Kohen Gadol, and when there is no Kohen Gadol, when there's no one else to get up and do the work for you, Chukas Olam says the Sfarno. One second. Chukas Olam, it's incumbent upon us, even Begalus. Is lo neflesi mimcha velo rechokahi. That there is always the ability that you yourself, lifnei Hashem titaru, you can do it without others, you can do it in whatever way is possible. It is always something which you can accomplish. It is always something which you can be able to do in the best way, in the best way possible. I was thinking about this a lot. I don't know what you get on your various, I guess, WhatsApp groups. But the tone of Sfarno is really important. It's important to be reminded sometimes of the accessibility of tshuva. It's important to remember sometimes that when it comes to tshuva, I need not wait for someone else to do it for me. But in many ways, it's really on me. It's important to remember that even the people like Paro could do tshuva. It's important to remember to make sure that we're doing so with the right intentions, that we're doing so with the great kavanas. That kind of tshuva is magas al-kisei ha-kavod. They can reach the kisei ha-kavod in mamish. That tshuva me'ava zedonos na'asas lo kishuyos. It can be the holiest thing in the world. It's important to remember that, and here's the important point. There's a lot of good things going around. There are so many people. I think we're in the hundreds of thousands in Eretz Yisrael that are in bidud right now, that are quarantined right now, that many of them are not going to be able to daven with a minyan on Yom Kippur. The nature of the way that things go. On the one end, that should allow us to embrace the wonderful opportunity that we are, Baruch Hashem, able to daven in a Beis Medrash, that we are able to take advantage of that. But a lot of different pieces of chizik have been going around for those people that haven't been able to daven, that won't be able to daven with a minyan. A beautiful 6-minute video, if you speak Hebrew, put out through Kfar Chabad, of bringing us back to a time when there were some Jews that said a kol nidre without a minyan. So some very, very powerful stuff. The Sfarno is a good Torah for those of us, you know, I hope Baruch Hashem, and hopefully it will be none of us, who aren't going to be able to have the same kind of experience we would ideally want. Lifnei Hashem Titaru, Chukas Olam, is because all Jews, wherever they are, have the ability to purify themselves in front of Rabbono Sha'olam. All Jews, wherever they are, Tshuva Vidoi Lifnei Hashem Titaru, can provide us with the opportunity, with the wonderful Zechus, for us to be able to worship Hashem the way that in many ways we know that we want to be able to. And the Sfarno, very subtly, when Chumash speaks about Tshuva, he focuses us a little bit. Keep in mind why you're doing what you're doing. Keep in mind the importance of being able to be focused. Keep your eye on the prize. And don't look around at other places. Don't feel like you're dependent upon others. Understand as well as you can what you can do and what you should be doing. Understand that it's on you. And may we all be zocha to have a binyan based on Migdash, to have an end to the tsaras of Galus, to have a haktana sachet, to be able to know there's someone there taking care of us. But if we're not zocha to, may we continue to appreciate the role of our tshuva and our vidoy, that it can ensure in all circumstances, it's so accessible, it's so easy, or it's so clear what to do, and even if it's hard, we should be able to do so well, with simcha, with an appropriate understanding of what's there. As we quoted earlier this week, there were no days as good as Yom Kippur, and we should be zocha to experience that. May it be the source of tremendous geula for all of us, and may we all be zocha to achieve this year complete forgiveness and be able to reach all the levels that we hope, Be'ez Hashem, we will be able to reach.